Hey, Jason John Cowart here, Next Gen Pastor at New Covenant Church in Longview, Texas. And this is a podcast called Thoughts, where I highlight and discuss a thought or an idea or something God shows me over the course of the day. And I'd love to hear what you think. So let's continue the conversation on Facebook or Instagram at Jason John Cowart, or you can visit wearencc.com or jasonjohncowart.com. I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you so much for listening. Be blessed. So, I have some flaws. Any of you who know me probably already knew that, but I'm going to get it out on the record. And no, I'm not talking about a pimple on my nose or something, but like emotional flaws, even spiritual ones. For the most part, I know exactly what mine are. They're things that I have constant battles with. They're things I have to constantly work at. And the truth is, we all have flaws. We all have things in our lives and our personalities that are evidences of our fallen nature. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, Adam and Eve, before they ate that fruit, they never had an argument where they lost it on each other. They weren't yelling and screaming at each other. They never had to struggle with rejection or sexual morality or unresolved issues from the past. I mean, they were perfect. They were born into perfection. They were flawless. Of course, they had the potential for a flaw. I mean, we see that in Genesis 3 when the serpent tempted Eve and when Adam chose to please his wife instead of God. And at that moment, that potential flaw became exposed and the enemy pounced. The enemy, he's been doing that ever since with all of us. I mean, God created us into a perfect world with perfect bodies and a perfect mindset. But when sin entered, flaws entered. I mean, we were never designed to be flawed, but we are. I've said this plenty of times, but it's never the action that matters. It's always your reaction that matters. And in the same way, using the same principle, it's not your flaw that matters. It's what you're doing about it. I mean, Satan is literally hell-bent on exacerbating your flaw. And he'll do everything he can to inflame that flaw, to expose it, to make it worse. But God's desire is, and has always been, to fix your flaws. I mean, he wants to take your character issues and your insecurities and all of the fruits of the flesh that we find in Galatians chapter 5, all of that, and heal it. He wants to fix it, to eliminate it. And he is so dedicated to this, in fact, that he even promises that whenever the devil means something evil towards us, that God will take that and use it for good. I mean, he can use our flaw of rejection for good. He can use the passion found in our outburst of anger for good. He can take our negative experiences and use them to bring about positive change in people's lives. God can fix your flaws. But God's ability to fix your flaw is contingent upon your willingness to give it to him. I mean, God is all-powerful, but he can't fix what you won't let him. Satan wants to take our flaws and destroy with it. But God wants to take our flaws and heal with it. Every generation has tried to fix the flaws of the previous generation. Baby boomers thought that the greatest generation was too overbearing, so all they wanted to do was what they wanted to do. They wanted to be unencumbered. And so my generation, Generation X, the one that followed, we were the turnkey kids who experienced a lot of our childhood alone. We had to take care of ourselves, and we had to do that while the baby boomer parents were either doing their own things or working or whatever. And so to overcome that flaw, Gen Xers lavished attention on the next generation, which is the millennials. And millennials, we kind of all know, are considered like the most entitled generation to date. And so this is the generation of participation trophies and whatever you feel, that's what you are, that kind of thinking. And we see the results of that on college campuses today. I mean, each generation tries to correct the flaws of the previous generation. Problem is, that doesn't work. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Look at history. It doesn't work. So then how do we fix our flaws then? Well, the Christian answer is God, but the real answer is God. He's the only way. I mean, prayer. You need to pray. You need to ask God for help on this. God's promises, what he said in his word. You need these. But you also need conversations with people who will help you process the flaw. I mean, one of the best things you can do about your flaw is to simply say, help me. I mean, say it to God. Say it to your pastor. Say it to someone that you trust that knows you and knows God. The truth is, you're probably never going to be able to process this and deal with your flaw in your own power. I mean, you need outside sources to help you deal with this. If you look back over the course of your life, you probably have noticed that you've tried to fix this flaw, but you never really get victory over it. It's because you don't have it within yourself to do this on your own. You need God. You need people. That's the only way you're going to fix this. I mean, hard conversations have to be had, and it means extra time and prayer needs to take place. It means addressing things that are difficult to address. You know, the problem with surgery is that it hurts and it takes time to heal. But the benefit is the thing causing the pain is corrected. You know, dealing with your flaw, it's gonna hurt. Trust me. I've had to and am currently dealing with flaws, and it isn't comfortable. But dealing with them brings freedom and goodness, and my relationships are better because of it. Look, we all have flaws, but they don't have to define us. Give them to God and allow Him to fix the flaw.